Thank you so much for joining me today. This is your host, psychic medium Antoinette Zaleski, with the Enchantment Hour. Today is May 6th, the beautiful day of Monday, and the month of April definitely has gone by very quickly. I don't even remember what happened in April. Anyways, I wanted to briefly update some important dates that are coming up for the show. May 21st. Actually, not the show, but actually, just wanted to let you know and remind you that May 21st, I am uploading my new website. It's being refurnished or redoed or reloaded, whatever you want to call it. It's been taking me a while to get it to where I want, and I'm really, really happy. Okay. I'm really, really happy to say that it's joining me on May 21st. So, again, if you want to know my website, it's www.mediumantoinette.com. And, again, what's coming up for the show, on May 20th, I'm having Laura Knapper. She will be here joining the show, and I'm very excited about her coming on. And today our special guest is Edward Ozowski. Excuse me. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name. Anyways, let me tell you a little bit about Mr. Ozowski. He is a recognized expert in the paranormal field. He has over 33 years experience in the paranormal research. I'm flabbergasted by this. Amazing. Edward has the opportunity to conduct preternatural research throughout the United States. He has instructed paranormal studies at the university levels and established in the research organization known as Hauntings Research. Mr. Edward is also a member of the most renowned and respected scientific societies and organizations in America. If you would like to call in the show today and talk to Edward, you may do so. Again, if you want to contact us, you may do so, and our numbers are... Let me get my number so you can call us. The 800 number is going to be 1-888-627-6008, and that's in for the U.S. and Canada. And if you want to call just on your regular line, it's 530-327-7602. So before I bring on Mr. Ozowski, I want you to let us welcome him, and I want to say thank you for all the viewers joining us today. And please let's go and welcome Mr. Edward Ozowski. Ed, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. I wasn't too sure if you were going to call, if I had a call, so I was kind of getting nervous there.
Well, actually, I tried calling one of the other numbers, and I guess to your credit, the number was busy. So I had to try a couple other numbers before I was able to get through.
Well,
so
I apologize
for the lateness.
Well, I apologize, too, because of some miscommunication. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You're here, so that's all that matters. And thank you so much for joining. I appreciate it. So do you mind if I ask you some questions pertaining to your research and seeing that you're a paranormal researcher? Do you mind if I ask you some questions?
Well, of course. Please, feel free.
Good. Thank you. And how are you doing today? You doing well?
I am doing very, very well. Thank you very much. I'm here in sunny Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's almost a perfect day. And,
good. I know you guys have been having a long winter on the East Coast because my family's from Massachusetts, and I live in Louisiana, so it's always sunny here, which is all right, but it's warm. It's very warm in the summer, and I'd rather be in the cold, but I guess you have to be where you have to be. You know what I'm saying?
You have to be somewhere.
I know, right. All right, well, if you don't mind, I'm going to go into the questions, and again, if anybody would like to call in the show to speak to Mr. Ed, that would be really great. I'm sure I'm very intrigued what he does, and I'm sure my viewers as well is intrigued as what he's going to describe to us about what he's been doing. Now, the questions that I have for you is, you know, just typical questions. But I was just wondering, now that you've been a paranormal researcher for the past 33 years, how did you begin your journey, and what made you want to become a researcher in the paranormal field?
Well, I started off at a very young age. As a matter of fact, the very first experience in my life concerned what is known as a shadow ghost, shadow person, which appeared at my crib side and actually convinced me to climb up to the top of the railing of the crypt side, from which point I fell and cracked my head open. So I have a very strong sense that that particular entity was not what you would call malevolent, and had very bad intentions. If people go to our website at Hauntings Research, it's Hauntings with an S, hauntingsresearch.com, there's actually a picture of my family and myself when I was approximately 3 years old in the backyard of our house. And in the picture, you will see that my family and myself are totally encapsulated with ecto swirls, which are also commonly known as ghosts. And so this is something that has followed me from my earliest beginnings. Mm-hmm. And it is something that, because of my upbringing, which I had to face pretty much alone, I had a lot of questions. I had a lot of things that I wanted explained to me. And because there were not people to do so, I had to provide and find that information myself. So that's how I really got started. I really wanted to find out what it was that was influencing my life, what it was that was at times scaring the bejeebers out of me.
Yeah.
And and kind of learn as I go. And as I became older, I found that I was not alone. As a matter of fact, statistically, there are millions of people in the United States at any particular time of the day that are experiencing things in their environment which causes them to undergo the same experiences I went through as a child. Mm-hmm. And that is fear, just a total confusion, frustration, anger, and that's my goal. My goal is to do as much research as I can to come up with as many viable answers to what is going on, and help some of these people to understand what it is they're going through.
Exactly, and as you know, I'm a psychic medium, so I work with spirits on a daily basis when I provide spiritual help for my clients. And you know, I've actually gone on numerous paranormal investigations, and I find it very interesting to be on both respective spectrum of science and actually, you know, spiritual. So I understand what you're saying and where you're coming from, because I've been doing this for a very long time myself. But your approach to getting the answers is different than mine. But I find what you do is very fascinating. I mean, anybody that can do that and try to find, okay, the information that is correct and try to, you know, give it to the clients and say, you know, this is what's going on. Now, in your field of study, do you have a PhD, or is it you just decided to do this and you've just been doing research on your own?
Well, it's a combination of both, actually. I have a PhD in pending, but my background educationally is in research, historical research actually, which I have adapted to my field. But this is actually something that, because of my background, I have through the years approached this through two different means, one from in-field investigation, but also in my earlier years, I had the privilege of working with some of the true pioneers in the scientific study of the supernatural, such as Dr. Ian Stevenson with his work on reincarnation at the University of Virginia, Dr. J.B. Rhine with his wonderful research at the Ryan Research Center on ESP, telepathy, clairvoyance, telekinesis. Dr. Bill Roll with his work on psychokinesis.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. John up at Princeton University with his at one time PEAR Institute, which was developed for the express purpose of trying to find a lot of the same answers that you and I do so from different paths, but we're basically looking for a lot of the same answers.
I think we are, and I think people who work in the paranormal field in all aspects are trying to find answers to these phenomena. And I think, you know, as a researcher as well as I am, I'm a researcher as well. I love stuff like that. And, you know, I'm sure I'm also trying to get it and do case studies on myself with past life regression. That's so funny that you brought that up, because I'm actually getting in with my clients and starting to get into past life. And I think it's fascinating that all these doctors who have the PhDs, you know, for psychology or whatnot, are getting more into this, the phenomenal of paranormal. And I think that's fascinating that they're actually opening up more instead of just being scientific. And I think, you know, it's a huge broad of genre of paranormal. And that's my next question to you, is that, is there certain areas that you focus on in the paranormal phenomena? I mean, I know you say that you do research in the paranormal, but is there specific things that you work in? Like, you know, for an example, you know, if someone has an exorcism or a poltergeist, stuff like that, do you work in that area, and how about, and stuff like that?
Well, that's an excellent,
because hello?
Hello?
Oh, okay. Make sure I didn't lose you.
No. I'm still here. But anyway, excellent question, because as you and I'm sure your listeners are aware, the term paranormal is a very, very broad umbrella and can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. For me, my area of expertise in my area of passion is with the life after death, the interest in the discarnate, that consciousness survives the body. And there's actually, to my mind, there's two branches of research that go into that, one I call the life after death study, and that is what I do, what they do in the field of reincarnation, for instance.
Would that be near death experiences too?
And also to include near death experiences.
Okay.
Things that, in other words, that are generally handled outside of a laboratory, outside of clinical type testing. And then you have the parapsychological end of the spectrum, which involves things like the testing, as I mentioned, of ESP, the testing of telekinesis, of the psychological branches, in which from a laboratory and scientific point of view, they are looking for some way to prove that there is a part of us, there is some aspect of humans that consists outside of the body, that is not connected to an organ of the body. And as such, to be able to prove it from a scientific point of view, mm-hmm. would allow us much more credibility to make the proposal that when the body dies, therefore there is something that survives. So the two branches, as I said, the life after death branch, which is myself, a reincarnation, life after death, and then the scientific branch, which is the laboratory ESPN, mm-hmm. or ESPN, telekinesis, that mm-hmm. type of things that are actually scientifically studied. I think that both of those branches, while independent of each other, both go down the same path looking for the same answers and that being that there is consciousness that survives after the body.
Mm-hmm. But see, you know, a lot of, on the scientific notion, you know as well as I do, a lot of people, a lot of scientific scholar people will say, well, you know, when you die, you know, the reason why people have near-death experiences, and I'm saying this more in a debate, I have to say, because, you know, I've been doing this for 18 years, and I do know, I've never had a near-death experience, but I've known a lot of clients that have. And, you know, on the scientific notion of that, a lot of people, you know, they will say, oh, it's because your brain's shutting down and all the neurotransmitters and, you know, it's your brain shutting down and it's because you're remembering this. I have to say that's BS. I do feel, you know, as a spiritual being and as well as you and many out there, that I don't believe it's just your neurotransmitters and your brain just kind of shutting off, you know, the sparks and your brain just kind of displaying and not being there. I do feel that, you know, when people have a near-death experience, they actually do go over and on the other side, and then they come back because they have to finish doing what they have to do on this side. So what is your notion on that? Do you feel that it's more of, you know, do you think it's the scientific notion of that, or do you think it's actually that they're really having a near-death experience?
No, I personally believe that, you know, the body is only capable of so many things, and I agree with you 1,000% that the concept of the neurons firing and, you know, and certain memory being being replayed to the mind, which takes a little bit longer than the body to eventually die, I think that that is being disproven. As a matter of fact, there is a book that I believe was on the next on the New York bestseller list, which was written by a doctor. And please forgive me, I cannot name the, think of the name of the doctor nor the book, but maybe your listeners will be familiar with it. But I believe that she is a neurologist. And she had a near-death experience, and because of the experience itself, it led her to do a great deal of scientific medical examination as to what goes on at the time of death. And as I recall, in her studies, that it is virtually impossible that when you flatline, when you are technically declared dead, it is virtually impossible physically for the body to continue memories. It is virtually impossible for the body to develop experiences. So we obviously have tons, thousands of case studies that have been documented in, as a matter of fact, documented by medical personnel, in which people have flatlined and been gone for as long as half an hour, and come back and expressed. Have been able to tell the medical personnel not only what their experience was while they were gone, but also to describe in detail things that occurred around their physical body while they were supposedly dead. Now, from a physical point of view, from a medical point of view, from a scientific point of view, that is impossible.
Yeah.
So, it's unfortunately, up until today, I think that we, and I'm including yourself and myself and people that that spend a lot of our life and a lot of time and energy researching into this field, I think that we have played the patsies for a little too long. And I think we have allowed ourselves to be too easily cowered into trying to defend our positions. And I, for one, have I just recently wrote a piece last summer to the Rhine Research Center, in which I suggested that it is time that we lob the ball to the other people's court. I think that where we have 30 and 40 years of solid scientific evidence that is proving that there is a strong reason to believe in the survival of consciousness, I believe it is now time for us to lob the ball to the other court and say, okay, fine, here's 30, here's 40 years of experience, thousands of case studies. You prove that these aren't correct.
Yeah.
That these are wrong.
I have to agree with you. I definitely feel that. I definitely feel there's too many case studies not to prove that it's not real.
Exactly. And it's too easy for people to just, with a wave of their hand, say, I don't believe it. It's medically, it doesn't make sense, so it's not real. You have to prove it. No.
Yeah.
No. We've proved it. Prove it's wrong.
Yeah. And what about all the, you know, the people that don't believe in past lives? You know, I was watching this show. I think it was, I can't remember the name of it, but I think it's like, What Do You Think? Or Do You Think It's Weird? Or something like that. It's with Schiffer. He used to play in Star Trek. He was the main lead in Star Trek. I forget his name. William Schiffer?
Oh, Dr. Spock.
Yeah. Anyways, the main guy, I forget his name, the main one in Star Trek.
William Shatner.
Yeah, William Shatner. He's on this new show that's called Weird or something like that, Weird or Not. And they had a program on past lives. And I was watching this because I'm thinking, okay, this is very creative. I want to see, you know, what they have to say about this. And they must have had about four or five people on there saying, oh, no, you know, past lives, you know, it's just past memories. And I think that's bull crap because, this, you know, I know I can do, you know, I know I have past lives. I know my husband does. I know my kids do. And I think it's more prominent with kids when they first, like, 3 all the way up to 5 years old, they remember their past lives. And, you know, and I just think, where does these people get all this information if it wasn't true in a past life?
Well, that's exactly true. As a matter of fact, I had a similar experience at I'm going to say about the age of 4 or 5, my dad was a history buff, and he took me to a location outside of Uniontown, Pennsylvania, called Fort Necessity, which was built by George Washington during the kickoff of the French and Indian War.
And, oh, fascinating!
And during the tour, I can recall many times interrupting, you know, the tour director and tugging on my dad's leg, saying, Dad, this isn't right. This isn't right. And finally, you know, Dad shut me up. But it wasn't until, I think it was about 5 or 6 years after that incident, that archaeologists doing research at the site found that, in fact, they had the fort constructed improperly. They had it originally as a rectangle. When the archaeologists discovered the foundations, the burnt foundations, it was in a circular site. Now, this was something that, while I didn't know exactly what was wrong, I knew something wasn't right. I'm 5 years old. They didn't even discover it until 7 or 8 years after that. So how does that happen? You know,
I think maybe you had a past life in that area. Maybe you had a past life in that era.
I'm sorry?
I said maybe you had a past life in that era.
Well, I believe that well, I can't prove it. It certainly, it would certainly point in that direction, wouldn't it?
It would, because, you know, how would you know that situation or that complex building that you were talking about or that area was not right unless you knew that you either had a psychic phenomenal or your vibration of some sort, or you just knew that it's because it's not right because you maybe had a past life in that era.
Well, that's exactly it. Now, as I mentioned to you earlier, I had the privilege, if you're not familiar with Dr. Ian Stevenson, who is unfortunately has passed on, Dr. Ian Stevenson was the director of the Division of Personality Studies at the University of Virginia. And to my mind, he is the Western pioneer of thought for reincarnation. He has done extensive research into the field of reincarnation. And I would strongly suggest your readers to look in their local library for a book that's called 20 Cases Suggestive of Reincarnation. It was published in 1974. And what makes it fascinating is that Dr. Ian Stevenson is highly recognized in the scientific field for his very methodical, careful, even cautious investigative techniques. He is flawless in his techniques. And in that book, he scientifically shows at least four criteria that he uses to determine as to why it would be impossible to fake a certain reincarnation story. And in his studies, he has literally he covered thousands of cases, and his results, and we're talking one of the scientific minds of his time. His result was that reincarnation is not only possible, it is probable. There is also another gentleman who is a little more current that is also down at the University of Virginia. His name is Dr. Jim Tucker. And okay. Dr. Jim Tucker, if you haven't heard of him, is a child psychiatrist. And he is director right now of the Division of Personality Studies at the University of Virginia. He has a book out right now called Life Before Life.
Hey.
And in that, it's a scientific investigation of children's memories of previous lives. Over 2,500 cases.
Is his case studies that he have done, his clients' case studies?
That's correct. This is his study. 2,500 cases of reported child reincarnation memories were scientifically evaluated for this study. He has 9 different protocols that have to be met in order to even be considered for the study.
Mm-hmm.
And his book is absolutely fascinating. If you're interested in the field of reincarnation,
mm-hmm.
and in that concept,
I am very much so, yes.
Life Before Life. It's readily available, very readable. But here we have two men from one of the renowned educational institutes in the United States, University of Virginia, who scientifically have studied the subject. This isn't just somebody... Joe Blow that stands up and says, I believe in reincarnation, and here's why. These are scientifically studied cases that document reasons that it is probable.
Okay. Interesting. I'm very fascinated about that. I've always been fascinated by reincarnation. I remember telling my mom, you're going to start laughing at this, because, you know, I was raised Catholic in Massachusetts because I was raised in an Italian family, American family, and I remember telling my mom when I was 8 years old, we're reincarnated, and she's like, no, we're not, we're Catholic, and I'm like, no, we're reincarnated at 8 years old, and I remember arguing with her, no, Mom, we're reincarnated, I know we are, we all come back, and she's like, no, we don't. It was, you know, as I look upon it now, I'm going... Oh, my goodness, that must have been really bad as a child, because I remember argumentative being with my mom and telling her, no, this is that. And, but see, my family's always been kind of, you know, very spiritual in our own ways. And, you know, like my mother has very premonitional dreams. You know, I've always been empathic. I've always been psychic. And it's just, and I, you know, people like me and people in the paranormal, other people who are not at that spiritual level, they kind of look at you like you're weird or a freak because they don't understand where you're at. But I think now, today in our society, I think it's more dominant that more paranormal stuff is coming out and people are being more aware of it and it's more accepting. But, of course, you know, there's other people out there who are like, oh, my gosh, you know, I don't want to deal with this. You know, this is too weird for me. But I'm glad that more and more people are being successful coming out in society and saying, look, this stuff is really happening. We have it documented, you know, from these books. Even back in the 18th century when spiritualism in England and America came out. So, I mean, it's been around for centuries, and it's just now, it just seems like it's more dominating to be more popular. Do you agree?
Well, I do agree. And, you know, when you talk about it being around for centuries, for those people that are into the classics, in Plato's Republic, he actually tells an account of a soldier in was recounting a near-death experience. And that was in the Republic, written by Plato. So, I mean, this is not something new. I think that, you know, it's always been around. I don't think that this is something that is increasing. I think that what has happened is awareness has increased. Now, as much as as much criticism as I throw towards the cable television programs on the paranormal, and believe me,
I know which ones you're talking about. I
cannot throw enough criticism at them. But anyway, one thing that I will
can I interrupt you for 1 second? I don't mean to interrupt
yes.
you, sir, but I just wanted to interrupt you on that same notion. Like I told you earlier on in the show, I in my local area, because I'm not from here. We all know we're not from. I'm not from Louisiana. Nothing against, but I ain't from here. Anyways, I started working with a local paranormal group, and I'm not going to say who their names are because I don't want to do any, you know. And the main person that runs the LA company, the paranormal team, you know, he was like, you know, he's like, I could be on TV and be in the media, like, you know, you have this one and that one. I'm not going into what their names are. He's like, but I don't want to. He's like, because it's all a script. He's like, it's not about helping the person. It's all a script just to get how many ratings and rankings. And he's like, you know, when you get into this paranormal investigation, he's like, you get into it to actually find what is stemming out of the problem and trying to help the client. And he's like, nowadays with more of these paranormal shows, you know, again, I'm not getting into the names. He's like, all these people are just trying to get their show in the ranking, and it's not all about the person anymore. It's all about what can we do to make success of this. And I think when you were saying criticizing, I have to agree. I think, you know, I don't even watch those shows anymore because they're getting ridiculous. It's not about helping the people anymore. It's about, oh, what can we do to try to make the rankings of, you know, on TV and stuff like that.
Well, that's it. It's very ego-driven as well, and I couldn't agree with you more. As a matter of fact, I offer my sincerest kudos to the gentleman that you're referring to, because it sounds to me, you know, as if he has his head in the right place. His priorities are certainly in the right place. Because,
oh, he's a fascinating leader for this
team. This isn't about me. I do not make a cent. I do not make a penny off of what I do. Everything that is done from my end comes out of my own pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And I do this because of the fact that, a couple of different reasons. One, as I mentioned earlier, I want to help people that
mm-hmm.
are that are confused, that are worried, that are afraid. I want to help those people too. I believe that the more truthful information that we put out there, the less room there is for this nonsense that Hollywood shoves down our throats and tries to make people afraid. I think that
I don't think it's more of a being afraid. I think it's more of, in my opinion, I think it's more of showing, okay, you know, maybe it's more of being afraid, but I think it's also just giving, like, oh, you know, more than what it really is, you know. I mean, they're basically showing, oh, every single time we go on this show, you know, do this something in this area, something's obviously going to happen. And that's not always the case when you go on investigations.
No,
you know,
obviously
you might not even get anything at all.
And that's, I can think of a couple different places where, every single episode is a demonic possession. Every
uh-huh.
single episode. Now, I have been in the field for 30-some years.
Mm-hmm.
I have literally traveled the entire United States, every state in the Union. I have researched. I have studied. I have investigated. And in all of my years, if I ran into that many demonic cases, I probably would have become a priest, because it would have scared the daylights out of me.
And by the way, how do you pronounce your last name?
Ozowski.
Ozowski.
Yeah.
Is that Russian or is that Lithuanian?
Well, that's a very good guess, because it's neither. It's Polish. It's
really? Because my husband's last name is Polish.
Yes,
it's S-K-I.
I noticed. Well, it's an Americanized version. When the three
brothers.
Oh,
okay, that's why it's with the S-K-Y. Because usually,
yeah.
I'm sorry, I know this is going off topic, but I was curious about your last name, and the reason why I brought it up is because I've noticed in the past. Because I don't know if you're aware of this, you're probably not, but I do genealogy. That's my thing. That's my hobby that I do on the side. And I've been doing that for like 18 years as well, but I thought it was either Lithuanian or Russian, because normally in the name origin is SKY is usually with that, but I didn't realize it's Polish. Okay, interesting.
Well, that's yeah. exactly it. And as I started to say, that when the three brothers came over from Krakow, the irony is that each of the three brothers and their three branches, we each spell the name differently. One is spelled K-E-Y, one is spelled S-K-I, and one is spelled S-K-Y. I'm in the S-K-Y branch.
Have you been to Krakow, Poland?
No, I have not made the visit that is on my bucket list.
I have, and it's absolutely beautiful there. My husband's
yes,
family's from Warsaw,
told.
But when we lived in Germany, Deutschland, we were like, we're not driving 24 hours to go to Warsaw. So we went to Krakow, and it's absolutely beautiful. I do recommend it. It's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. And I do recommend, if you go there, I do recommend going to the I know what I'm talking about. It's in Poland. It's where the Holocaust.
Oh, gee, yeah. Well, there's a few places there, but I believe I know where you mean. I've drawn a blank. But
I can't think of
yeah,
the name of it right now, but we went there to go see it, and it's in part of, I guess at one time it used to be part of Germany, but now it's part of Poland now, and it's where the major Holocaust was happening.
Well, Germany has had a tendency to claim parts of just about
mm-hmm.
everywhere in the United
mm-hmm.
States, or everywhere in the world at one point or another.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just telling you now where it is located today. It's located in, I think it's like 40 miles from Krakow. It's
yes.
It's in Poland. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, Auschwitz. That's the name
yes.
of it. That's located in Poland. But anyways, let's get back on topic. I'm so sorry. Sometimes I go off topic and I don't mean to.
I do it all the time.
My brain just goes to one thing. I'm so sorry about that, my viewers. I'm kind of baffled today, and I'm kind of like dar out there today in the world. But anyways, I wanted to go more into, you said in your bio that you teach on a university level.
Yes.
Is there specific colleges that you go to, and what areas of expertise or topics do you focus on when you teach at the university level?
Well, actually, yes, I do. I am retired right now. And so what I do is, on a more of a part-time basis anymore, I do not have an official release from the university, so I am cautioning on the way of safety, legal safety, mm-hmm. by not naming the university because, mm-hmm. as I said, I do not have official permission to use their name.
No, I understand.
So I just leave it at that. But as far as the discussions, normally deal with the afterlife type of experiences, going through everything from, well, hopefully A through Z. What I like to do is try to explain to people, at least give them a working knowledge of, you know, what is a ghost? I mean, is there a ghost? Is there such a thing? Is what's the difference between a spirit and a ghost? There is a difference.
There is, and I have a lot of clients that ask me the same thing too. But
and,
if you don't mind, just elaborate.
And, you know, and mm-hmm. why do some people pass through the light? And why do some people just still hang around? Why do we have people that are on a ghostly level that are close here to our dimension? Why don't they leave? Why aren't they happy? I mean, there's just a billion possibilities. And I try to, on a semester basis, I try to vary the approaches because, you know, it gets kind of boring doing the same type of thing over and over and over and over. So I kind of allow the student body to kind of tell me, what is it that you're interested in? What do you want me to talk about? And then I will develop some type of a program for the following semester.
Oh, interesting. And how long have you done this for?
Well, I've been doing this for about 5 years. And you know, as the old joke says, you know, long enough to know better.
Yeah,
but it is something that I get a great deal of enjoyment. It is an adult thing. I mean, I am not talking about 18-year-olds. So as a result, we have in our classes people from all kinds of backgrounds, science, research, analysis. We are talking about a very sophisticated student body. So we get into some very, very sophisticated and involved theory.
Interesting. I'm very intrigued what you do, and that's going to lead to my next question because we only have like about 12 more minutes left, but I want to get into your hauntings research, and I want to know how this began and, you know, what does this organization do, and, you know, I know that you're a paranormal investigation research in that group, and I want to know some of the places that you've done before we close up the show, but I just have to say, I want to say thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really, really impressed about how you work and how you started off in your expertise, and I want to say thank you for joining my show today. I really do appreciate it.
Well, the time has certainly flown by. I've thoroughly enjoyed myself, and I hope that you have me back at some point.
Oh, of course, Mr. Ozowski. I would definitely have you back, and I just wanted to, before I wrap it up, again, we have some more minutes, but I want to get back into the hauntings research that you
Yes.
That's your organization. And also, before we do end the show, I want to make sure that you tell the viewers where and how they can locate you and and all that nifty stuff. But anyways, I'll make sure I'll get back into that. But how did you go about doing your organization, the Hauntings Research, and when did you start with the organization?
Well, as I mentioned to you, I do conduct the paranormal studies programs at the college, and it was actually after one of the courses, at the conclusion of the course, a number of individuals approached me and asked if I would consider helping them to in the formation of some type of a paranormal studies group, and which I had agreed to do, providing that it is done the right way and for the right reasons. So what we decided to do is we settled on a certain criteria that was based on a lot of the scientific modalities that I'd learned through my life in both laboratory and in-field study. And we incorporated it into our organization. Now, I am very, very adamant about this. We are not a paranormal investigating group.
Oh, okay.
We are a paranormal research team. And I'll tell you, what I consider to be, the difference is that in investigation, that's only one aspect of research. Investigating is making some type of a systematic examination or maybe even conducting an official inquiry, okay? What we do in research is a process of steps that's used to collect and analyze information and so as to increase our understanding of a topic or issue. And for us, it consists of three steps. We pose a question, we collect data to answer the question. Now, in collecting the data, that's what most people consider to be investigating, the investigating team, paranormal investigators. So we do go out and do that, but it's only one portion of what we do, one segment of what we do. And then following that, it comes the hard part. And that is the analysis, which is very, very extensive. And that is done in order to present some type of an answer to the question. What we are attempting to do is influence the current thought and the current outlook on the entire paranormal question.
Mm-hmm.
We are not out there just to find out, is a place haunted? We are out there to try to actually influence the way society views and thinks about the paranormal. So that's the difference. And as far as the Hauntings Research, it developed, coincidentally, about 5 years ago, about the same time that we started with the courses. And I would best describe Hauntings Research is it's an organization that is comprised of very dedicated individuals that are
highly
experienced.
How many people are in your group?
I'm sorry?
How many people are in your group?
We currently have, I believe it's 15 or 16 people.
Oh, okay.
And,
interesting.
It's comprised of, as I said, certified, highly experienced personnel that are capable of providing help and information in a variety of fields. But it's an assemblage of highly educated, highly dedicated researchers who represent decades of occupational backgrounds in science, research, and analysis. Okay, so and all our services are free, they're impartial, they're confidential. As I said, we are not in this for money.
Mm-hmm.
We are not in this for our egos. We're not in this for anything other than to provide information to people that are questioning and to provide help for those people that are in need.
Good. I'm very interested in this. Now when you go, how do you begin this? Like, if you get, like, a specific case, I know you said you're not a paranormal investigation team, but you're more of a researcher. How would you go about if somebody came to you with a case and they said something's going on in this area of my house? Now, what would you and your organization do? What would be the procedures of looking into this?
Well, it varies, obviously, because it's going to vary with the with that particular case. Every individual situation is like a person's fingerprint. They're all different.
Mm-hmm.
Every single situation is different, and we approach it differently. There is no cookie cutter approach to this. It's individualized. But to answer your question, we do a great deal of research and background research into a location, into even some of the people that are involved that approach us, and we spend a fairly good portion of time doing a great deal of research. We then make arrangements to come in, and as I said, that's the investigative stage. From that end, that would be with, for instance, what you're familiar with, and with your group, where you go in and you do a study. You go in,
mm-hmm.
and you set up your cameras, you set up your recorders, you set up your picture or your cameras, and you do as thorough a job as you can, collecting any evidence that may be available at the time. From there, we take it back, and with the evidence, it goes through a multi-filtering process, and that is that every piece of information that is gathered from every individual is passed on to every other person within the organization. Every person sees every piece of information. And from that, we then pick out the most relevant, discard those things that are not relevant, and we continue that filtering process until we filter it down to a point where we are dealing with pertinent information, with information that is of intense interest.
Huh.
And from that point, we microanalyze, and I mean that sincerely. It will take us at times, we've actually spent months doing analysis on certain places. And the reason for that is that we owe it to our clients to do as effective and truthful an analysis as possible. If there is any possibility that something is not explainable, then it's normally thrown out.
Okay.
If something is if anybody has a, let's say, an experience, if the ghost of George Washington walked by me during an investigation, it would be one hell of a story, but it would not be considered in the case. It
yeah.
is not evidence. It is not provable. I have no evidence of it, so it did not happen. Great story, true story, but it didn't happen. So
what is one of the what is some of the places, or what is the couple of cases that you have come across that is very intriguing to you, and what it was the evidence or whatever the research have come about?
I'm going to tell you about a place that will probably blow your socks off. You know, as I said, I've been doing this for over 30 years, and we are currently in the third year of a research project at a place called Larimer Mansion, which is located outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It is a 223-year-old, absolutely gorgeous bed and breakfast, but it is, from a paranormal point of view, one of the most active places I have ever run across in my life. It has a haunted painting. Since October of this past year, we have caught on camera and on video, we have caught 9 different occasions in which the faces, bodies, and images in the painting have changed.
Interesting.
And we have studied this. Matter of fact, we just recently took another swing at it about 3 months ago, and we'll be back in July to do another one. But there's a picture, an interesting picture, of two of us literally with our noses pressed up against the painting, examining, trying to find cracks, crevices, little nuances in it that could reflect light, that could influence, some type of...
Anything that could influence is why this is happening.
And I am going to tell you that it has us absolutely baffled. I cannot find any scientific, logical explanation for what's going on.
Interesting. Interesting. So are you going to ever going to write a book about this? I hope so.
As a matter of fact, I'm in the process of writing 2 books.
Well, good, because I'm going to be, I want a signed copy. I want a signed copy.
Wait.
And it's going to be on the best, it's going to be on the bestsellers out there in the paranormal world. It's going to be really awesome.
Well, let me qualify that. I assume you mean a signed free copy.
Yes. Signed free copy. I'm very intrigued that you are on the show today, but we have like 2 more minutes before we get off, and I really want my viewers and, of course, everybody out there who's listening, for you to leave your social media and how they can contact you.
Okay. Very simple. We have a website. It's called Hauntings Research, Hauntings with an S, one word, hauntingsresearch.com. On that website are various links to various locations on the Internet where we have a presence. On that website, there is also a place where you can sign up for a free newsletter. That's free. It's a good price, free. We deliver it by email. And so you can sign up for that. There is also a page in which you can send us letters, notes, observations, pictures, EVPs. We get them all the time. If you would like, some kind of feedback on what our impressions are of those things. And, of course, we do have a presence on Facebook. It's just Facebook Hauntings Research. And we do post some of the more unusual things that we run across on some of our adventures. We do post them onto the Facebook. So any one of those, and we would welcome any and all people to view. Please get in touch. I'd love to hear from people, and as you can tell, I love to talk. So please feel free.
I have to say thank you, and I think I learned a lot today about what you do, and I'm just quite fascinating, and I do appreciate you coming on the show, and I will contact you soon for possible another come on and do another show with me, and I appreciate it again for you joining me today.
Well, I would just be tickled to death. I really would.
Thank you.
You were a delight, and I loved my time on the show.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And before I go, I just wanted to remind everyone, May 21st, I'm having Lauren Napper on the show, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, which is 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 12 p.m. Central Standard Time. And again, I want to say thank you to our special guest, Mr. Edward Ozowski. He joined us today. He's with Hauntings Research. Again, you can contact him at www.hauntingsresearch.com. And again, I want to say thank you to all my viewers who listened and to listen again on Monday, the 21st of May. I want to say thank you so much, and you all have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon. And thank you so much for joining the Intention Hour with your host, psychic medium Antoinette Zaleski.